Hi, listeners. You're now listening to Let's Tell Trees, a podcast brought to you by C4E Craft with me, Anggi Cahyaningtyas. I'm back with a new episode on sustainable agricultural community production. And especially, we are going to discuss the importance of adopting jurisdictional and landscape approach in sustainable agriculture. We have two distinguished guests here. First is our senior scientist, Bapak Heri Purnomo, who is also the country director of C4E Craft Indonesia. He is also a professor at IPB University Bogor in Indonesia. Hello, Pak Heri. How are you?
Hi, Anggita. I'm fine. Thank you. I'm doing a lot of research on the value chains, also forest governance, including jurisdictional approach, as well as the landscape approach and value chain approach. Also doing kind of environmental modeling related to the forest as well as agriculture.
Thank you, Pak Heri. We also have here Bapak Hendrik Sega. He is a chairman of Center for Development of Science, Technology, and Peatland Innovation from University of Palangkaraya, Indonesia. Hello, Pak Sega. Thank you for being with us today.
Hello, Agrita. My name is Hendrik Sega. I also the associate professor at the Forest Department, Faculty of Agriculture, University of Palangkaraya. Currently also we conduct some research on forest management and also peatland ecology in Central Kalimantan, particularly in tropical peatland ecosystems in Sebangau areas. I equipped by some knowledge on remote sensing and peatland ecology, especially for support local and regional development on shaping environmental and natural resources policies in Central Kalimantan particularly, and also support some ministry in Indonesia, especially for environmental and forestry ministry.
Thank you, Pak Sega. Sounds very important work. So we're going to talk about agriculture today, and I'm always interested to talk about it because it's very important. It's related a lot to our food security, but on the other hand, we also need to make sure that it is sustainable. So now I'm going to move to my first question. This one is for Pak Heri first. Before we talk more about what happens in Indonesia and about your research, can you please tell us what is exactly jurisdictional approach and why does it matter for sustainable agricultural community production?
Well, thank you, Anggita. First, jurisdictional approach is multi-stakeholder processes. It is important to involve all parties, all actors, and all stakeholders to discuss, to plan, and also to act whatever commodity the interest. First, it is about the multi-stakeholder processes, and also recognize the importance of the local government, because jurisdictional approach always talk under the administration or political boundary. So we talk about kabupaten or district, or sometimes about the province as a key to involve bupati, head of district, or governor, head of province. If we talk about project, it is specific location, specific project, and sometimes it is good in this project, but not necessarily good in other sites and other places. So just to make sure in all sites within the district could somehow transform into our common objective, which is better income for agriculture, as well as better environment, reducing carbon emission, and also to increase the welfare of the farmers and also the community there. For instance, we can improve the productivity of oil palm dairy, but at the cost of the environment, at the cost of the government target on reducing carbon emission and combating climate change. So just to make sure whatever is good for specific location within the political boundary, also in harmony with the other objective, with the government objective, with this multi-stakeholder interest. Because You know, in one district, for instance, not all farmers, not all concerned with the agriculture only. Some stakeholder concerned with the conservation, with the biodiversity, with the climate change, with natural disaster, with the flood. So how to combine, to synergize all of the interests, all of the objective. So yeah, sometimes it is good. It's easy to say how to protect the environment while improving the agriculture enterprise, the business. But it is the challenge actually at the jurisdiction level. That's the challenge for the head of government there, yeah. But as I mentioned, it's not only government, there is farmers, NGOs, and committee, and business committee, as well as the academician there, yeah, how to synchronize, to combine. And local government need to take a lead, yeah, because they have power, actually. Yeah. They have budget, they have power. Yeah. So it is a bit different from the what we call landscape approach, when we bit ignoring the role of the local government.
So it's a kind of the way to embed like local context to our research and the approach, right? So now that we know that Indonesia is very diverse, we have a lot of local governments, different contexts in different locations across the archipelago. But Sega, I will go to you, and can you explain to us how far it is being implemented in Indonesia, and how does it work so far?
Yeah, talking about the jurisdictional approach implemented in Indonesia, particularly in our study area in two provinces, in Central and East Kalimantan, as the study case, I think this is a very, very challenging, and we need some actions. And also, as we know that the local government from the provincial levels to the district or sub regency level or kabupaten, we know that the jurisdictional approach is the implemented, even though still in process. Yeah, we know that the implementation of jurisdictional approach is came from the legalized regulations. So we have the willingness from the provincial and districts for a sustainable agriculture, especially like the sustainable palm oil management and in province and districts. So the challenge for provincial and districts, such as the strengthening the data, actually, the coordinations, and also the governments and dispute handling, because some dispute on some lands, and also the increasing the planter or farmer capacity about the environmental management and monitoring. So for in case of the sustainable palm oil, we need to have like implementation of ISPO certification and market access for oil palm oil productions. So as far as I know, that the jurisdictional approach for sustainable agriculture in our province is progressing, and I think we have confidence that the government still in the right path for the green ways, I think.
I'm glad that we have some optimism there, that we're on the right track. And if you don't mind, Pak, we talked about the challenges before. Can you also mention maybe some success stories or some achievements that we had already?
Yeah, if we talk about the success story, is for example, the indicators of jurisdictional approach in East Kalimantan, particularly in the Kutai Kartanegara district, are the STDB, Surat Tanda Daftar Budidaya. Most of the farmers already have listed and legalized in East Kalimantan. The challenging in Central Kalimantan also quite huge, because the area is consists of the peatland ecosystems, with many canal and so on, but the government tried to speed up the process for legalize the land to avoid the production and protected areas and also conservation areas. The involvement of all stakeholders, not only government, but also the private academicians, also the local NGOs, to support the sustainable agriculture, particularly in the sustainable palm oil management.
All right. Thank you, Pak Sega. Pak Heri, do you want to add? Maybe you have some success stories that you want to share?
Thank you, Mbak Angrita. Yeah, we are successfully formulated our contribution to the District Action Plan for Sustainability of Oil Palm. So the recently developed kind of narrative, how to transform from the current situation to the better situation in terms of productivity of oil palm, in terms of reducing deforestation, in terms of reducing emission from the supply chains of palm oil, also in terms of improving the income of smallholders. So we have four documents in four districts. As Pak Sega mentioned, we have Pulang Pisau in Central Kalimantan, Kutai Kartanegara in East Kalimantan. Also, we have two other districts, Pelalawan in Riau, as well as Sintang in West Kalimantan. So we work together with the stakeholders there, with the local government, to formulate. How we formulate that based on our research, we doing a lot of research there, going on the ground, develop kind of model how to achieve better in terms of economy, ecology, and social. And then we will hand over actually this document to the head of district.
Thank you, Pak Heri. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that we have a lot of success stories about this practice. And I also want to ask, what makes it successful in this areas? Is it because there is a strong political willingness of the government? Is it because they are, you know, the stakeholders are willing to talk and to discuss their different objectives and find a middle ground, for example? Can you tell our audience what are the keys to these successes?
Yeah, to me, like there is a strong interest from the leader, particularly from the government at the local level, as well as interest from the stakeholders. And also there is a common challenge actually, particularly from the EUDR, the EU Deforestation Regulation, because it is will come to Indonesia and other part of the world by end of 2024. We have to comply, otherwise we cannot export our palm oil to Europe. How to comply with this is what we formulate among others in the our district action plan. Yeah, so the EUDR is talk about the importance of oil palm not have no link with the deforestation. Also, the lake must be legal and can be traced, yeah, the traceability. So first, there's no deforestation, the legality, as well as traceability. Those three aspects is key for oil palm. Yeah. And also important, why we talk about oil palm, because oil palm is very, very lucrative business, lot of money. Indonesia export around more than $30 billion annually. It's almost 500 trillion rupiah annually. And millions of people in Indonesia involved in the supply chains of palm oil. And we have the biggest palm oil plantation, as well as the CPO, the crude palm oil production in the world. So we are leading how to make sure we Indonesia is taking lead, but also not only taking lead, but taking lead in sustainable way, because we believe that sustainability can be our competitive advantage, can be the Indonesian competitive advantage, particularly on the palm oil production. So to me, like, there's a big opportunity. The challenge is very clear. The support is very clear from the local to the national one, but how to do it, yeah? And luckily, we are a research organization. We are coming from university like Pasega. We equipped with a strong data, strong field research, and also strong modeling background. So we could discuss to the people there if we have to stop the deforestation. We have to this link, yeah, between the palm oil development and deforestation. And how to do it? Increase the productivity. So how to do it is very important, because we would like to be more environmental friendly, but at the same time, we would like also to develop the economy of people, the economy of government at the local level.
Thank you, Pak Heri. All right. So it's very hopeful that we see that puzzle pieces coming together. Now I'm moving on to our last question. We talk a little bit about the landscape approach, how it differs from the jurisdictional approach. Can you explain a little bit about this, how they can come together and support each other?
Maybe I can start there. The difference is very simple. Jurisdictional approach, actually, the landscape approach, but using the political boundary. Because the landscape approach, you use the ecosystem boundary, like a watershed management, like a peatland hydrological unit. Yeah. It is good, yeah, the ecosystem boundary, but sometimes there is no clear government there who has the authorities there. So the general approach is implemented all good things from the landscape approach, but just what? Understanding the governance boundary, the political boundary. So in our work, we use the district as the political boundary to work on the ground.
Thank you, Pak Heri. Interesting, and I hope it works well in the future. I'm really glad we are doing this episode, because as an Indonesian myself, I'm so proud that we have abundance of resources, so we can also be a leader in sustainability. Pak Sega, do you have any concluding remark?
Yeah, actually, we are lucky that we have two provinces with the specific of characteristic. For example, in Central Kalimantan, in Pulang Besar district, that consists of peatland areas, many canals, and also the community also quite different. With East Kalimantan in Kutai Kartanegara, which a quite dry area and also lowlands, and educational and awareness are the very important regarding the environmental of management for a sustainable agriculture, particularly in the palm oil. Also, the inclusive economic development in the context of sustainable palm oil, with legal and regulatory certainty and the function of the government institution in accordance to needs for the sustainable palm oil is very important. So we know that the willingness or the policy of the government will give the good step forward for the sustainable agriculture in Indonesia, particularly in those two provinces and district as our study areas or study case in East Kalimantan and Central Kalimantan.
Thank you, Pak Sega. Pak Heri, any concluding remark?
Yeah, I would like to thank to Pak Sega and his team from the Palangkaraya for nice collaboration in Central and East Kalimantan. Also to partner of KMS, the Forum Komunikasi Masyarakat Sipil Sintang in West Kalimantan. And also would like to thank to Cikalahari, the Coalition of GO, for our collaboration to work on Judulnya Approach and Pelelawan Riau. Also to other stakeholders at the district level as well as our partner at national level, the Ministry of Agriculture, the coordinating Ministry of Economic Affairs, as well as to the Executive Office of the President for collaboration exchange the information. Hoping this work could be follow up, strengthening, and we believe that the sustainability could be our competitive advantage. As well as I would like to also to mention, it is also mandated by the 1945 Constitution that in Article 33.4, it's very clear that our economy must be developed in sustainable way and the environmental friendly way. So hopefully we can work together to transform our agriculture into more sustainable. Thank you.
Thank you, Pak Heri and Pak Sega. I'm really glad to have both of you in this podcast. I wish you all the best for the research project to encourage sustainable agriculture in Indonesia. And I hope that in turn will inspire the world. It doesn't stop just in our country. I hope to see you again in another discussion, maybe. And I would also like to thank our audience for staying with us for this episode.